United States.
The Senate. Preparing for a takeover. Republicans are favored to win the Senate. What do they want to do with it?
Donald Trump's visit to Capitol Hill on June 13th served as a reminder that, whatever the candidate promises, Congress will have a critical role in shaping policy if he returns to the White House. Although Republicans largely support their presumptive nominee and his program, the finer points of a potential second-term agenda remain up for debate. The Economist's election forecast model reckons that Donald Trump is more likely than not to retake the presidency. A Trump victory would probably be accompanied by Republicans gaining control of the Senate and perhaps expanding their majority in the House. Congressional Republicans are already considering the art of the possible if they do so. Their legislative aspirations would be limited by the filibuster, a tradition that requires 60 votes in the 100-seat Senate to approve much legislation. Republican institutionalists are loath to ditch it. Their agenda is also limited by reduced ambitions. Republicans no longer talk about entitlement reform or sweeping changes to health care. Yet the party could still dramatically shift the country's fiscal trajectory thanks to a parliamentary procedure known as reconciliation, which allows the Senate to use a simple majority to change spending and revenue. That is particularly important next year, with many of Mr. Trump's first-term tax cuts set to expire. Rate cuts for individuals and estates, along with several changes for business, will lapse by the end of 2025. Some 60% of American households would then send bigger checks to the taxman each year. Simply extending the law would increase the deficit by around $4 trillion over the next 10 years, according to the Joint Committee on Taxation. The seemingly impossible task is to deliver a politically viable bill that encourages growth without expanding America's already massive deficit, which exceeded 6% of GDP in 2023. Many Senate Republicans have plans to build on Mr. Trump's 2017 legislation. "I was not a real big fan," Ron Johnson, a Republican senator from Wisconsin, says of the bill he voted for 7 years ago. While the headline corporate rate fell from 35% to 21%, changes to deductions for small business owners left some paying more. Mr. Johnson believes the party needs to embrace a paradigm shift and radically simplify the tax code. Others are discussing how to create more predictability for businesses while retaining aspects of the law that encourage investment. A relatively young but growing faction emphasizes support for workers. Jim Banks, a congressman expected to win Indiana's Senate race this year, has expressed dissatisfaction that the corporate rate cut was permanent, whereas reductions for individuals were not. And Marco Rubio, a Republican senator from Florida and longtime child tax credit advocate, says, "Allowing families to keep more of their hard-earned money is not only fair, but absolutely essential to helping them recover from the Biden years." Jason Smith, chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, said in May that very well-known conservative Republicans are even open to increasing the corporate rate. Two complicating factors could frustrate any effort to reduce America's deficit. The first is Mr. Trump, who during a recent speech vowed to eliminate taxes on tips. That is politically savvy in the service industry-powered swing state of Nevada, but would be expensive. The second complication is the House, where tax legislation originates. The size of any Republican majority there would be pivotal. The fiscal question could affect another priority, defense spending. John Kennedy, a Republican senator from Louisiana, sees these as inextricably linked. On the one hand, America must deal with authoritarians throughout the world who want to kill us and drink our blood out of a boot. On the other, you're trying to control your debt, grow your economy, and pay for an older population. He says reducing wasteful spending is essential. Roger Wicker, the top Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee, recently called for America to increase defense spending to 5% of GDP, up from a projected 2.9% in 2024. Mr. Wicker has plenty of support from key figures like Mitch McConnell, the Republicans' outgoing Senate leader. Yet a growing isolationist wing of the Senate will grumble that the country already spends, and wastes, far too much. The faction undeniably has grown in recent years, but hawkish Democrats can compensate for lost Republican votes. A likely compromise could be increased defense spending, albeit not at the level some hawks believe is necessary. More spending directed at countries like Ukraine and Taiwan could become even more difficult. Although foreign military aid has commanded bipartisan support under Mr. Biden, its approval in a Republican-run Washington could come down to the whims of congressional leaders and Mr. Trump, which is not exactly comforting for leaders in Taipei or Kyiv. Mr. Trump is also running hard against the mess at America's southern border and Mr. Biden's green energy policies. As president, he could take executive action on myriad border and energy policies, but legislative action has more staying power. Few Democrats align with Mr. Trump on expanding fossil fuel production, and fewer still would vote with him on immigration. Some Republican senators see an expansive role for the reconciliation procedure. There's actually a great deal that can be done. We'll need to think creatively about it, says Bill Hagerty, a senator from Tennessee. The language in the reconciliation process needs to be budget-related, but what you can say is, thou shalt not fund, and fill in what you're trying to address. Getting presidential nominees installed is critical to reshaping power in Washington. Executive branch nominees could implement Trumpian immigration policies, undo Mr. Biden's energy and environmental regulations, and even claw back funds meant for green power projects. About 1,200 of the president's 4,000 political appointees require Senate confirmation. A Republican Senate majority would prioritize approving lifetime appointments to the federal judiciary over temporary jobs in the bureaucracy. The judicial stakes help explain the most notable development from Mr. Trump's visit to the Capitol on June 13th, the former president burying the hatchet with Mr. McConnell after years of acrimony. At the moment, the race to succeed Mr. McConnell as the Republicans' leader in the Senate seems a toss-up between John Thune of South Dakota and John Cornyn of Texas, although if Mr. Trump were to throw his weight behind an alternative, such as Steve Daines of Montana, that could prove decisive. All three of Mr. Trump's first-term Supreme Court picks are under 60. Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, who would be in their late 70s by the end of a second Trump term, could retire. No one knows what America's tax system or defense budget will look like in 20 years, but anyone wondering why Republicans stick by Mr. Trump through everything need only remember that, if he wins, a majority of Supreme Court justices could be Trump appointees well into the 2040s.